Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Republican candidate challenging Representative Dave Loebsack for the 2nd District Congressional seat was in Knoxville Saturday. Let's go in-depth with Dr. Christopher Peters of Coralville. Well, Dr. Peters, you had a good crowd this morning at the Coffee Connection.
I think we did. I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was a friendly crowd, and they asked some good questions at the end.
Well, we're right out of caucus season, so we're all primed.
I think that's probably true. People have questions they want answered, and they're primed to ask them, as you said.
Well, now, why are you running?
I am really interested in making sure, as I said earlier in my talk, to ensure that I leave behind a world better than the one I inherited. As a father of three sons, I'm very concerned about future generations and the troubles we're leaving behind for them.
You're running against Dave Loebsack because you live in his district. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you come from, what you do.
I'm a surgeon. I'm a thoracic surgeon. I run a private surgical clinic. I'm a 9-year Army Medical Corps veteran. And as mentioned, I'm a father of three sons and a husband to a beautiful wife who's from northern Iowa.
What particular issues are you interested in addressing? You want to make the world a better place for your family, a better place for the future. Let's get to some specifics. What are some of the specifics that you want to address should you get elected to Congress?
Sure. Economic issues are one area that I think are extremely important. The federal debt being nearing $20 trillion, I think, is an inheritance we shouldn't be leaving to future generations. I believe we need a balanced budget amendment, and I believe we need to rein in the size and scope of government. I'm also interested in promoting free market forces in areas where they typically are overlooked. My industry, which is healthcare, for example, is really hamstringed by the lack of any real competition, whether that's at the level of physicians or insurance companies or pharmacists and drug companies, et cetera. The Affordable Care Act's main shortcoming was that it largely expanded an already dysfunctional system. It didn't reform it at all. Other areas include education and housing, for example. I think that rising income inequality, wealth disparity, is an issue that's of importance to Americans now and especially in generations to come. Looking at the causes of those underlying inequalities are going to be even more important than just trying to correct those inequalities on the back end through increased taxation, particularly with dealing with the large corporations and financial services, looking at favorable treatment and regulations, tax breaks, subsidies, and bailouts by government is something that needs to be addressed as well. Apart from economic issues, I'm very concerned about the political dynamic in our society as a whole today and also among our elected officials in Washington, D.C. I see a lack of civility in our civil discourse nowadays, from everywhere from my Facebook feed to people you meet on the street. On the other hand, when I get together with extended family, with people who have a divergent number of views politically, we can all get along just fine, even talk about issues we disagree on, and don't get into ranting about one party or another party and casting out labels. I think we need to restore civil discourse in our society and at the political level, among our elected officials. We need to resist the partisan politics we see, the dysfunction that causes. And we also need to look at some structural reforms that I think that would address some of that dysfunction politically. These would include term limits for all congressmen and women, but it would also include looking at some ways to democratize our political process, such as voting reforms that would extend a voice to more Americans. Currently, our system is dominated by two major political parties, and the primary and caucus system tends to produce polarized candidates from either side that then meet in a general election where most Americans are somewhere in the middle, and I think we need to find a voice for a lot of Americans who feel disenfranchised. My goal with this campaign politically is to try and reach what I would term a radical center, something that's a lot of people believe in ideas of social tolerance and fiscal prudence. I certainly believe in those. Neither of the two major parties embraces either of those ideas fully.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Republican congressional candidate Christopher Peters.
And those seem like admirable goals, civility, working across the line, but that, or working across party lines, working with other people, but that's not what anybody's doing now, is it?
It doesn't seem to be, or very few. We are seeing some examples of some lawmakers in Washington, and at the state houses, I think, as well. Some people are trying to change that dynamic. They are realizing that the system has become sclerotic and resistant to change, and they're trying to change it. So it all starts with one example and goes from there. It's kind of like the pay it forward movement. You need to start somewhere.
Some people are saying the Republican Party is in trouble because the hardliners on the far right are uncompromising, and they're not interested in compromise. It's their way or the highway, and it's up to like 25% of the party, and the people trying to bring the party toward the center, they're encountering primary opponents within the Republican Party. So how do you bring the Republican Party back to the center if the far right side is immovable? I mean, there was a respected gentleman in the community here this morning asking for you to tell us what programs, what national agencies like the EPA or Department of Education, which ones you're going to cut. And that sort of puts you in a hard position, right? When there's people that have these hard line perspectives, how do you pull the party toward the center when they won't have anything to do with it?
I share that concern. I think it's important to recognize that the party, and this applies to whichever party you refer to in a given question, is not a monolithic institution. It's a collection of millions of individuals, and they're influenced by the things they see, the how people act, the demeanor, etc. It is going to be a process, there's no doubt. Some politicians in the Republican Party, and you'd probably argue that it's happened as well in the Democratic Party, who take an all-or-nothing stance on any one particular issue, I think are a problem that are going to need to be overcome. I don't have any ready answers for it, other than providing a better example, hopefully, of how to interact and behave.
Well, it's going to be tough based upon what the general perception is with respect to our presidential candidates. I mean, that's not the example that you're seeking to emulate, am I right?
That would be correct. Without talking about any particular presidential candidates, I think that we are going to try and just run a campaign that is much different than what you're seeing at the national level. We are, again, going to focus on some common sense solutions that I think will appeal not only to Republicans, but people who don't view themselves as members of either party, and hopefully even some disaffected Democrats. We are going to be positive, civil in our discourse, and just hope to change that dynamic by example, if nothing else. If it falls flat and we don't win, so be it. At least we'll run the campaign that we want to run.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Republican congressional candidate Christopher Peters.
Let's talk specifically about Congressman Loebsack's record. Are there any things or particularly significant differences with him?
I'm still beginning my research on Representative Loebsack. I will say that I have in the past recalled a couple of times where he has voted against his party and in a way that I think was admirable. I don't recall the specifics. I think one may have had to do with surveillance of citizens by the government. I'm trying to look up those details now, but I don't recall them right now. And I think that Representative Loebsack is probably a good guy. I've never met him. My main complaint with him is that I can see very little in the way of accomplishment in the last 9.5 years. He's not been a leader in either his party or in the House of Representatives, as best I can tell from what research we have done thus far. So I think with 9.5 years in Congress, with not much to show for it, that's what makes him a target to run. It's nothing personal. I just think we need there's needs in this country that need to be addressed, and I can't see that he's addressing them.
Did you decide on your own that you were just going to challenge Congressman Loebsack, or were you recruited by the party?
No, I was not recruited by the party. I actually had started discussion with some confidants about a month and a half ago, I guess it was, about possibly running a no-party independent bid for this seat. And it was only at the very last minute when Senator Shelgren dropped out of the race, and then I was approached just 4 days before the county convention, where some leading Republicans suggested, well, why don't you consider running as a Republican? So we are definitely not recruited by the Republicans until the kind of the very last minute. Even until the very last minute, I was still debating on whether that's the course I wanted to do. And the reason for that is nothing against the Republican Party. I have a long history in the Republican Party growing up. It had more to do with one of the points of emphasis I wanted to make in my campaign, which is the democratization of the political dynamic here, to include changing some of the structures in our political system to include voting formats potentially that would allow a greater likelihood of third party and independent candidates being competitive in races in the future. So now I'm running as one of the two major parties. So that was one of my concerns, that I would weaken that message. Our goal, though, is to continue to move forward and run essentially an independent campaign, but under the Republican banner. Thus far, from the higher officials within the Republican Party here in Iowa, I've gotten support for that message.
What's the most important thing that you can tell our listeners today? What's the most important thing you want to get out?
The most important thing I want to get out, I think, is that I am not a professional politician. I want to serve the people of the 2nd District for a finite time, return to my surgical practice, and that I'm doing this for the benefit of not myself, but future generations, and that we want to run this campaign, as I just mentioned, with an appeal to independent voters, to voters who typically feel disenfranchised by the two-party monopolization of the process.
Thanks to Christopher Peters for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.